First of all, I want to thank the Lord for my wife, who's down there with me. As most of y'all know, we don't have children, not yet anyways, but we are working on that. We do ask for your prayers in that area. But my wife has been a real big part of my ministry down there in Mexico. You know, like I said, most of you probably already heard, a lot of the preachers, saying, about our ministry. It is tough, if you just think about it. I mean, 5 days a week, twice a day, we go out there and we talk and we try to convince and we persuade. And I mean, so many things, with the Word of God and these people, sometimes they get to curse us. Sometimes they get to, hate us and just many, many things, and it's not the greatest feeling in the world being hated, by somebody. You know, everybody wants to be loved, and it's not very comforting. But when I go home, my wife is there and she loves me.
Amen.
And I go home and I get to see her and I get to talk to her and I get to experience a lot of things with her, and we've been having a real blast these past 3 years being married. I also want to thank the Royals too. They opened up their house for us, and every time we come up, and I know that's a big sacrifice. This time around, Hannah let us stay in her room, and that's a big sacrifice too. Hannah's growing up. She's a big girl now, and she let us have her room, so we're real thankful in that. And Brother Brian too takes care of our mail and everything else. As most of you know, I didn't go to school for be a preacher. None of us did. No big school, seminary, or all this kind of junk. We're just stepping out by faith and believe God calls people from His church and to take the gospel out. The Lord just needs a willing heart. And I believe the Lord's really given me this desire to preach the gospel to the Mexicans. And a lot of people also, I heard this guy on the radio the other day talking about the ministry, and it was really funny, made me laugh. But he said, the ministry isn't the highest paying job in the world. He said, but the benefits are out of this world. And this is true. I mean, what we give to the Lord, man, tremendous benefits. We might never see them here in this world, but the Lord doesn't forget. The Lord does not forget our labor, and it's not in vain. How many times does He say that in the Word? I want you to turn with me to John chapter 15. Our Lord, He's chosen us. This morning, brothers, I ain't gonna bring anything new. That's one thing. That we have. We have this word, and it's been preached so many times, but I believe we forget a lot of things. A lot of things that we just forget. We're just a forgetting people. That's exactly what we are. Just forget. We have this mission conference once a year, and to stir us up, and to keep our focus. This is God's work, and this is what God wants us to do. His service is to save lost people. And this is what we're sent out to do. But turn with me, if you will, to John 15. And just want to read some verses here in John 15. I'm sure all of you know where I'm going to start. Verse 13. It says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." And that's something, those are comforting words. You know, like I said, no one likes to be hated. You know, but when I think about that, and when I think about the brothers, you know, that the Lord has called, you know, here in the Word, all the prophets, the apostles, they were hated. You know, but they had one thing in common: they had a friend. Amen. You know, we have a friend in Jesus. He's chosen us. You know, He saved us. Every single one of us that are saved. You know, if you don't know my friend, I think it's about time to think about it. You know, I think it's about time. You know, I have many friends in this world. Many friends. You know, I have more friends now that I'm saved than I did when I was lost. You know, and my friends that I have, they support me. You know, in everything. You know, I come up here and, what do you need? You know, can we do something for you? You know, or talk to me, exhort me, or, well, you know, whatever. They support me. But, you know, Jesus gave His life for me. You know, and that's something that we don't really dwell on that enough. You know, we forget that. We forget that Jesus gave it all for us. And He has everything for us. And we need to take this message, my brothers, to the world. He said, go and bring fruit. You know, that's very important, to bring fruit. God has given each and every one of us a gift. We are vessels, and we should be to His glory, you know, to His honor. The Bible says too, in Timothy, if you would, 2 Timothy 1:11. Paul says here, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. You know, it's the most amazing thing that the Lord has given this responsibility to the church. You know, I don't know how many times it's been said this week that we need to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord in getting His gospel out and with our lives, with our service, with our everything, with our mind, with our heart. We got to give it to the Lord and commit it to Him and say, Lord, You are able. You know, You said that we should go out and bring fruit. You know, and I know a lot of times we talk about this, and I ain't here to make anybody feel bad. You know, I'm sure the majority of you here are doing something for the Lord, and that's great. But if you're not doing something for the Lord, we have a service, and I believe it's a reasonable service. You know, I mean, the Lord doesn't expect too much out of us. He really doesn't. I mean, He saved us when we were sinners. I mean, we're still sinners, but I'm saying He didn't say, go and fulfill the commandments. He didn't say, well, you must go to church every day. He didn't say, well, you got to read, you got to do all this before I can save you. No. He said, just come as you are. Just come as you are and receive my gift. It's the gift of God that He gave us. And along with that gift, He gave us more gifts to preach the gospel, to use for His honor and for His glory. Look, if you will, in Psalms 35. Like I said before, if you come today thinking to hear something new, well, you're going to be disappointed. But I do want to bring some things to remembrance again. 35, it says, chapter 30, verse 5. It says, for His anger endureth but a moment, and His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know, brothers, we got inheritance that you and I can't possibly imagine. I mean, the Bible just touches on it, and it just gives us a little look at what's awaited for us with Christ. And the most important thing about being saved is that we're going to be with Jesus, you know, forever. And this is reality. You know, this ain't no fable. This isn't a dream, you know, that we're never going to get to the end. This isn't something that somebody made up and is just, you know, we're living a lie. No, this is the truth. Jesus did come in the flesh, you know. God came in the flesh and He endured, you know. He went the distance and He died on that cross, and not in vain. He died for the chosen, you know. He died for us. He died for the church. The Bible says so. He gave His life for the church. Now, what should we do? What is our responsibility, brethren? Seriously, do you think God just saved us just to sit in the chair? Do you think God just said, well, I'm going to save you and that's all I want you to do? No, that's not all He wants us to do. You, everybody in the body of Christ has something to do. Amen. Let me tell you, the body of Christ is just not only at Oak Knoll. You know, there's brethren in Mexico right now doing the work of God. You know, I mean, I can't begin to tell you the stories of the lives, you know, that God has transformed. I mean, people that just were ignorant, were just, you know, there were blasphemers, there were just people who were far away from God, and now they're preaching the gospel. I mean, here, you know, one of the things that I enjoy down there, is, every 2 months we meet in León, which is about in the middle of where all the other churches are. And we all meet there, and it's just the men that go there from all the different churches: San Luis, Aguascalientes, Irapuato, Salamanca, Querétaro, you know, wherever. And we all meet there, all the brethren, all the preachers. We all meet there, and we talk about what's going on in our cities. We talk about what problems are happening, and how we can face these problems. We encourage each other. Man, preachers get down sometimes. You know, preachers have a hard job. I tell you, you know, and that's why, you know, I'm thankful that I have a wife that's you know, doesn't nag, you know. I'm glad I have a wife that's happy when I get home. I mean, she has her days, just like all of us. You know, I don't come home and just, I mean, most of the time I come home and after I'm pretty frustrated and I give her a hard time. And I know I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't bring my problems like that to her and just, you know, pound her over the head with them. But, you know, I'm glad that we have this. And the brethren there, I'm telling you, if you could only see, if you could just go down there and just see what they're doing. Like a brother said, they're imitating exactly what we did, what we're doing. They are doing. They're taking the example. We're going down there. We're preaching on the streets. Hey, we don't say, okay, you look like a preacher. Okay, I think you're called. No, they just stand up and say, I want to do it. Show me how. All right, this is how we do it. You come out with us. This is where we're going to be at this time, and they do it. Right now in Irapuato, we don't even go downtown anymore. We don't go downtown. You know why? There's two brothers handling the downtown ministry. Two brothers take it, they took it over, and they're doing it. That gives us more time in the colonias, in the suburbs. I don't know how you would translate that word, but where the houses are, you know, and on the streets. And that's what we do. We spend more time there because it seems like we're always behind. We preach twice a day, one in the morning and once at night on every street. It seems like we always get behind. But that gives us more time to do that. Look, if you will, in Romans 12:1. I said earlier, you know, this is our reasonable service. Look what Paul says here. You know, serving God isn't unreasonable. It's unreasonable at all. God pays back, you know. God's already paid. What am I talking about? He saved you, and that should be enough. It says here, 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. You know, brethren, God wants us to transform. You know, He really does. I don't know how many times it's been said this week that we need to renew our minds, renew our hearts. Not be conformed to this world, not to think that we should be friends with this world. I mean, we need to live in this world. That's no doubt. But while we're living in this world, we need to take the gospel. You know, I just don't understand. When I got saved, it was very clear to me. And I don't think I'm holier than anybody else here. You know, I'm no better than anybody else here. But you know, it was very clear to me that when I got saved, that God chose me. You know what I'm saying? He said, you're mine. You are bought with a price. His blood. I'm not of this world anymore, but yet so many times we want to make friends with this world and do exactly what this world is doing. Oh, I want to be accepted. Oh, I want to be in this world. Hey, Jesus wasn't accepted in this world. The apostles weren't accepted in this world. The church is not accepted in this world, and you know why? It's a friend of Jesus. That's why. We are friends of Jesus. He said so. He says, if the world hated you, know this, it hated me first. Oh, I tell you what, the more I read the life of Christ, the more I'm reminded in what He endured. There ain't nothing that I'm going through that He didn't do. Nothing. And it says greater is He that is in us. Amen. I mean, Christ lives in us. In the believer, Christ gives us the power to overcome. We don't need to be conformed to this world. We are the flesh, the Bible says, wars against the spirit. We're living in this flesh. And this flesh doesn't naturally want to do the will of God. You know, it wants to do his own thing. It wants to follow his, you know, buddies. You know, it wants to follow this world. It wants to do the things. It's much, you know what it is? It probably is much easier for us just to kick back and just think of ourselves and just play church and just come here and not even hear that people are dying and going to hell. You know, this is a doctrine that I hear all the time on the radio when I'm up here that many churches don't teach no more. Hell. They don't want to hear it. They, you know, don't bother us with that. Just tell us, you know, other lovely things. But don't tell us that people are going to hell. We don't want to hear that. No, God's not that way. He loves everybody. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to tell you, but people are going to hell. And the reality is, people, that not everybody's going to be saved. I mean, the Bible doesn't teach that everybody's going to be saved, but they are some. And God chooses them. I don't know who they are, but God chooses them. And God loves them, and God died for them, just like He died for us. I believe that when Paul says here that it's our reasonable service, I believe that he has a good point there. It is our reasonable service. We should want to serve Him that is Lord of our life. We should want to serve Him that saved us from hell. We should want to do this, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, you just got to do it. You know, another thing that brings me to mind, there's people that you are around all the time that no one else would get to even speak to. There's people that I talk to in Mexico that you guys will never meet. That's why I'm down there, taking the gospel somewhere else. And we all have a part in it. We all have a part in this ministry that God has put in the body. He's chosen us to take the gospel and to bear fruit. Turn, if you will, to Psalms 37:5. He says right here, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You know what? Most of the time we want to do our way. Most of the time we want to do our own thing. And we don't want to commit it to God. But God's asking us to commit our life to Him so He can use us. This is what the Word teaches. This is what Christ did. He came to serve, like it was mentioned last night. He showed us. And the apostles, man, I don't know how they get the prosperity gospel out of the gospel. I mean, my goodness. I mean, the prophets, the preachers of the gospel, man, they weren't rich, you know? And they didn't have all good times. No, they were persecuted. They were chastised. Everything. They were friends of Christ. You know, God never promised us anything. Another thing that was said this week. God didn't promise you money, good times, nothing. But He does promise you life. He says that if you're born again, you got life. Amen. And life more abundant, Christ says. Amen. Oh man, I tell you what, one day we're going to see Him as He is. But while we're down here, brethren, I believe that we should commit our service unto Him. It's reasonable. It's a reasonable service. Look also in Proverbs 16:3, one book over. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That's another thing we need to do, brethren. We need to commit our work unto God. God is promised to commit. I mean, to fulfill His word. Paul committed it to God. We should commit our work to God. Whatever it is, whatever your job is in the body of Christ, you ought to commit it to God. I think another thing that was said this week is we need to have goals. We need to set some things before God. We need to ask God. God, this is what You gave me. I want this. I want this for You, not for my glory, but for Your glory, for God's glory. You know, I don't want to come down to that end, to that race, so to speak, at the end, at that finish line with nothing. And Him say, oh, you did run well, like it was said this week too. Oh, I want to run well, and I want to keep running well. Amen. I want to run well all the way to the end. And I mean, so many times we forget that, you know, Christ is coming back. And I truly believe that. And I know everybody here says, yeah, I want Christ to come back. The world wants Christ to come back. You know, I'm talking about the church. But many of them don't understand that when Christ comes back, many of them are going to be ashamed. Saved, yes. Saved, yes. But they're going to be ashamed because they didn't do anything. Nothing. God has given us gifts. Yeah, some more than others. I don't think we should cry, because We don't have another man's gift, but we should use the gift that's in us. You know, I mean, I've noticed since I've been down there that I become a better preacher, a better witness. And it's not because it's of me. You know, Christ did it through me, yes. But also, I took the examples of the brothers who were around me. Amen. You know, I saw the way they were doing it, and I said, yeah, you know, that's the way I should do it. That's the way I should preach. That's what I should teach. And get away from dumb questions, you know, and just stay on the truth and just give it to them the way it is. That's what we should do. Not worry too much about this world. Not worry too much about things of this world. Just preach Christ. A lot of things that I've changed about myself, that Christ changed about myself, came from God's people. Seeing what God's doing in the brethren. And I think we need to take a look at people in the church. You know, mark some men. You know what I'm saying? If you don't have victory over some sin in your life, you know, maybe you're hanging around with the wrong friends. Maybe you need to do some looking in your own life first. And say, you know, this isn't good for me. I shouldn't be hanging around with these hoodlums. You know, I shouldn't be hanging around. I can't defeat liquor. Well, my goodness, who do you hang around with? A bunch of drunks? I mean, how you expect to lick something if the people you hang out aren't godly? You know, like I said, I learned from, you know, a long time ago, and you know, I'm not bragging or anything. You know, and it took me a while to learn some things after I was saved. It took me a while to come to this point. But I decided that it's far much better to live for Christ. Amen. Live for Christ. Don't worry about anybody else. Oh, so-and-so doesn't think I'm a good preacher, you know. So-and-so doesn't think that I'm supposed to be in this ministry. Oh, poor me. No, who cares? I'm not doing this for anybody. I'm doing this for Christ. This is my reasonable service in Christ. God saved me, and this is what I believe God wants me to do. And God wants you to do something too. You just gotta open up to Him. Don't do it because somebody else is doing it. Do it because of your friend that saved you. That's what you gotta do. That's what you gotta remember. Don't worry about being a man pleaser. Who cares? Just do your service that God called you to do, whatever it is. I'm no better than anybody. Look also in Jeremiah. I think this is a perfect illustration. If we give our lives to Christ, I think this is a perfect illustration here of how God makes us. In 18:1-6, talks about here about going to the potter's house. You know, Uncle Dell promised me to take me to the place, and there's a place in Mexico that makes pottery and still do it the old fashioned way. And so I'm holding you that, brother. You gotta take me down there and show me this place. But here it says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. And you know, we all know that the church is God's, is Christ. And that's exactly how we are. We're just clay. And we can either choose to be used of Him and just give ourselves to Him and let Him make us to the person that we are in Christ. Not to be discouraged because we're not like someone else. I mean, God molds us. God makes us into a certain vessel, and you just got to use it. Amen. You got to use that gift, brethren. And I believe also in 1 Timothy, turn here, and I'll close out with this. 1 Timothy 11, it says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, and I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, Paul always understood exactly where he came from. You know, although Paul was a very smart man, a very religious man before, and he probably had a lot of pull among the peoples of the world, you know, in his life. But Paul came to the point to understand that it was all in vain. Everything he did outside of Christ was in vain. Everything. If Christ isn't in it, it ain't gonna last. It's not gonna last. And I tell you what, brethren, one thing that I want to tell you today is we need to really think about this, about our service in Christ. If it's reasonable, then do it. You know, if you think it's worth it, do it. I mean, I surely do. And I know the majority of us do think it's worth it. You know, Christ did so much for us and is still doing for us, still watching over us, still protecting us, still making sure His word is sure and we have a firm foundation in Christ. And I tell you that many things that Paul did in his life, he just committed to Christ. He said, this is it right here. A faithful saying, Christ came to save sinners, just like Paul. And he transformed Paul into a preacher. Into a preacher of the gospel. And each and every one of us has this ministry to take the gospel to someone else. We're a light in this world, and we're supposed to pass this light on to the world. Amen?